Welcome to Pretty Lies and Alibis. Let's seek the truth and travel the long road to justice together. What you know, alibiers? Happy Wednesday, August 17th. Welcome to another episode of Pretty Lies and Alibis. I'm Gigi. This is a day late. Sorry. After the hearing, I got busy doing things all over town. And when I got back home last night, sat down and rewatched the hearing and made my notes. By the time I sat here, like, my brain and my mouth were on different playing fields. And so I just gave it up and went to bed. So I'm fresh and caffeinated and ready to go. So before we get started today, just want to take a moment to acknowledge that today would have been Charles Vallow's birthday. And birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, the pain is a little more raw on those days when you're missing somebody. So I'm thinking about his sons, his family, and his friends, and everybody who knew and loved him. And for today, I like to picture him and JJ having a big old celebration together, and Tylee. So just send some positive vibes to Charles's family for today. Now, music fact of the day before we get started. This blew me away. I love Fleetwood Mac, y'all. They're like in my top five, but they only had one number one hit in the U.S., and that was the song Dreams. Crazy, right? I mean, look at all of the amazing songs they put out, like The Chain and Landslide and Gypsy and Rihanna. It's just crazy. And speaking of bands, Taylor and I, my oldest, we go Saturday down to Atlanta to see Roger Waters from Pink Floyd. I was lucky enough to see them in Clemson in 1994. I was a senior in high school, and she obviously has not seen any members of Pink Floyd in concert. So we are just like super excited. And when I was pregnant with her, a lot of people put like Mozart or some classical music on some headphones and stick them on their belly. My kids got Pink Floyd. So literally since she was in the womb, she's been listening. So we're really excited. All right, let's get to it. The hearing yesterday. All right, so let's just address the obvious. I'm going to throw some pictures up on YouTube. Lori was very expressive in her facial expressions yesterday. To me, I thought her behavior was just super bizarre. And I'm not going to begin to try to figure out why. Larry and Kay were on Court TV last night, and Vinny Politan asked, "What did you think of the woman you saw in the courtroom today?" And Larry said, "She's not the same person." He also said, "It's a facade and she's scared." So we'll leave it there. They knew her, and just very bizarre. But, you know, it seemed she understood what was going on, though, because there were times when her attorneys would speak and she would nod her head in agreement. And when Rob Wood would speak, she would kind of laugh sometimes or shake her head or get her pouty look. So anyways, she also made sure the cameras saw that wedding ring very much pointed that she wanted people to see that. It looked like she made it homemade wedding ring she made in the pokey. Does Chad feel the same way? Well, we don't know. He was supposed to be in there with her yesterday, but both sides came to an agreement, at least for now, that they'll send that DNA off to the lab to see if it can be split to where both sides can have a sample for their expert to test. So I think if they cannot get enough of the sample for both sides, we'll be back in for a hearing, and then we will finally have that courtroom reunion, and then we'll see if Chatty Boy made him a ring for himself. But, you know, you think about it, Pryor has made a point really since the beginning of all this to call her Vallow. And I just feel like somebody's got to flip. It's just, it is what it is. I actually tweeted out, and I think I put on Facebook yesterday, an interview Nate Eaton did at CrimeCon. And you guys should listen to it. There's some little nuggets in there we haven't heard. And but he did say that Lori wants the trial to be together so they can hold hands. So there you go. All right. So just remember, you know, we're playing catch up on a lot of these hearings because obviously she was incompetent for 10 months and nothing could be heard on her behalf. So I really think these are issues we would have heard way back when, if maybe she had these attorneys starting out. I don't know if Mark Means would have ever brought this up. But she came in through the main door and she was in civilian clothes. I think a lot of people at first did not recognize that was her they were bringing in. She had on kind of a gray top, black pants, a pair of heels, and a bulletproof vest as her accessory. And I really think, too, you know, with COVID, what few times we have seen her, she's had a mask on. She was definitely more expressive in this hearing than any I've ever seen. So let's get to what this hearing was about. And it was about a few issues. Her attorneys believe that two of the counts listed in the indictment are complicated because they each include two separate allegations, which are the conspiracy to commit murder and also grand theft by deception. And their worry is that a jury could be confused about how to rule for two different crimes when both of them are included in the same count. So Rob Wood and Lindsay Blake were there yesterday for the prosecution, and they say that this motion has no basis because the law allows for an allegation in a single count of a conspiracy to commit multiple crimes. And so Lori's attorney says, just starting out, they filed a motion to incorporate federal and state constitutional grounds in support of future motions and objections, and that has not been heard. But he wanted to put that on the record. And this is a really common filing. The defense did not object to this, but they're relying upon the 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, and 14th Amendments of the U.S. Constitution. So let's just run through those real quick so we know which ones he was talking about. 4th Amendment, every subject has a right to be secure from all unreasonable searches and seizures of his person, his houses, his papers, and all his possessions. The 5th Amendment actually breaks down 5 rights or protections. The right to a jury trial when you're charged with a crime, protection against double jeopardy, protection against self-incrimination, the right to a fair trial, and protection against the taking of property by the government without compensation. The 6th Amendment guarantees the rights of criminal defendants, including the right to a public trial without unnecessary delay, the right to a lawyer and an impartial jury, the right to know who your accusers are and the nature of the charges and the evidence against you. The 8th Amendment, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. And the 14th is government cannot deprive any persons of life, liberty, or property without due process of the law. So Thomas goes on to say that there are 70 cases cited in his motion, and he's like, I can read them if you want. And Judge Boyce is like, we're good. How about we'll just make a note that you brought this up? And then they moved on. So the first thing that her lawyer talked about was the aggravating factors. He says that they believe there should be a probable cause hearing on each of those aggravating factors because they enhance the penalty. That's how they're able to go for death, is due to the aggravating factors of the case. They essentially want to make sure that she qualifies for those aggravating factors. He said it would narrow down the possibility of them having to prepare for trial on an aggravating factor that doesn't fit or meet the probable cause standard. So what are those aggravating factors? It's been a minute, so let's go through them. It's for the deaths of Tylee, JJ, and Tammy. They were committed for remuneration, which essentially means financial gain. The murder of Tylee, JJ, and Tammy were especially heinous, atrocious, or cruel, manifesting exceptional depravity. By the murders or circumstances surrounding their commission, the defendant exhibited utter disregard for human life. The defendant, by her conduct, whether such conduct was before, during, or after the commission of the murders at hand, has exhibited a propensity to commit murder, which will probably constitute a continuing threat to society. So those are the aggravating factors that got death on the table. So they believe that the two counts listed in the indictment are complicated because they include two separate allegations, the conspiracy to commit murder and also grand theft by deception. So they say a jury could totally get confused on how to rule for two crimes when both of them are included in the same count. It's a little bit confusing. I have taken out things because I felt like I was spouting gibberish and I'm just not, you know, I'm not a lawyer. But the prosecutors, Lindsay Blake and Rob Wood, were in attendance yesterday. Rob Wood said the motion has no basis since the law allows for an allegation and a single count of a conspiracy to commit multiple crimes. And he also notes that the deadline for them to have filed stuff like this was May 27th. So essentially, her attorneys just wants each crime to have its own count. And so Rob Wood mentions, Thomas mentions Abdullah being the law of the land in Idaho. We'll get to that in just a second. But he oddly mentions overturning of Roe versus Wade being a landmark decision. I think maybe what he's saying is just because it's kind of the law of the land doesn't mean we can't like go around that. I don't know. But he does acknowledge that the court is likely to deny this motion. So Judge Boyce asked Thomas who would make a probable cause determination because this case came to be because of a grand jury indictment. So he asked, are you suggesting we need to bring a grand jury back? Or do we have a hearing that is similar to a preliminary hearing, which is heard by a magistrate or even Judge Boyce? Lori's attorney said this is a hybrid issue, but he thinks it should go back to a grand jury since they found the probable cause of the alleged crimes. He would ask they find probable cause among the alleged aggravating factors. So Rob Wood responds and says that there's case law directly on this issue from a 2015 State versus Abdullah ruling. It's a capital case where the death penalty was found. And it says, we also hold that there is no constitutional requirement that the state present evidence demonstrating probable cause for each aggravating circumstance to properly notify the defendant of its intent to seek the death penalty. Wood says the Supreme Court came to this conclusion and he understands this is for appeal purposes, but it's been ruled on and the decision has already been made for the court. So ultimately, Judge Boyce says he will take the issue under advisement. He'll do a little research and issue a written ruling at a later date. The second issue was to remand the grand jury about counts 1 and 3. So they just want to separate the conspiracy to commit murder and the grand theft. So remember, the prosecution chose to go to a grand jury instead of a preliminary hearing. So we really know very little about the evidence that the grand jury heard, even though Chad's preliminary hearing that was held, that was actually for the concealment and destruction of evidence being the kids' bodies when they were found. And we learned a lot at that hearing, but nothing near what that grand jury heard. The list was very long of people. We'll go through that in the mega series and who they are. And so there was a lot that grand jury was told that led them to this conclusion for these charges. But her attorney says that the conspiracy to commit murder and grand theft are confusing to the jury to figure out what elements were met and when they were met and how they were met. So he says, we need to say, when does conspiracy end? He said it should end when the alleged murder occurred, which for Tylee, he said would be September 8th or the 9th. And for JJ, September the 23rd, that's the end of those conspiracies to commit murder. So Judge Boyce says, can't you have ongoing conspiracy of different offenses? And he gives an example. of a drug conspiracy where somebody's doing a delivery of drugs and then they do it a week later. And then they do it a week later. And he says, isn't the time frame open through all of these charges? And then you have a grand conspiracy that has multiple offenses. So Lori's attorney says, when the murder finished, that's where that charge ends. He says, I don't think they can tag on a conspiracy to commit grand theft. He said, in layman's terms, if they find conspiracy to commit murder, the punishment is death. If they find grand theft, it's 14 years in prison. And he says, we don't want to come back for an appeal if there's confusion with those conspiracy charges. He said, it's too many questions for the jury. Are they guilty of murder or not guilty of grand theft? This is fundamentally unfair, he says. He said, the jury instructions say they have to prove at least one of the crimes were committed. And he says, you're lumping one under one conspiracy charge, the two crimes. He says, if they don't find conspiracy on one of the charges, they have to go back to that jury and ask, which conspiracy did you find her guilty of? So Wood says the state fundamentally disagrees that it will be confusing to a jury. He says, we believe the charges are linked and aren't completely separate. He says, we believe the jury will find that they, meaning Chad and Lori, agreed to commit those two crimes. And he also points out that the grand jury wasn't confused when they issued the indictment. He said the charges are based on evidence provided to that grand jury. They didn't have a problem with it then, so he doesn't think a trial jury will have a problem with it either. So Lori's attorney says, in closing, a person's life is on the line. And he knows the state is there to seek justice. But ultimately, he thinks the appropriate way to deal with this indictment is to send it back to the grand jury and let's split up these conspiracies into their own counts. He also says that they got their response from the state about this 6 days ago and calls that untimely. He says the state is aware of how much discovery this case has. It's far in excess of the time frames and processes and time needed to digest the case. So Boyce asked Wood, what's your response? Wood says, I take issue with the state or with them saying that the state was late in discovery. He said, we've been timely in providing discovery. So Judge Boyce points out that Lori was incompetent for 10 months. The trial is not until January, and there's been no motion to compel regarding discovery. So he put that baby to bed real quick. So Rob Wood says multiple cases have held the conspiracy is the crime. It's one crime, however diverse its objects. And he says that's very important wording. The two conspiracies is the agreement. One, the murder of Tylee and to steal her Social Security money. Number two, to kill JJ and steal his Social Security benefits. He says they are linked, the murders and the stealing of the money. And he said they agreed to commit a crime or crimes, and the jury instructions have an S for crime or crimes, plural. So if you remember, Lori actually did a calculation of what she would get. And then when she found out she wasn't the beneficiary, she acknowledges to Chad in a text message that, well, at least I'll still get this. Then we know she goes to meet with Social Security in Arizona. So that's the grand theft charge. Also, Wood says you don't have to complete a crime for conspiracy to be found. And he gives Judge Boyce says, when you're instructing a jury, do you tell them what the underlying elements of a crime are? And he says a lay person may not know the difference between grand theft, robbery, or burglary. Rob Wood says he didn't think so. He said, if that's the case, they don't have to find the elements of the underlying crime. And Rob Wood gives an example. He says, if person A and person B agree to kill person C, they made an agreement, and that is the first part. If one of them purchases a gun and they drive there, but they get stopped by the police before they get there, they have still committed the crime of conspiracy. And that kind of made sense to me because I was really confused for a hot minute. Not going to lie, y'all. I rewound that hearing like 15 times. So Rob Wood says the crime is the agreement and taking the overt act in furtherance of it. It's not the completion of the crime. So in terms of when does the conspiracy end, as the court pointed out, there can't be ongoing conspiracies. They do believe evidence will show the conspiracy ended when Social Security payments stopped being paid to Lori. He said, also, if there's multiple crimes, it ends when the whole conspiracy ends. It's the whole picture. He said, I don't think it's confusing. I don't think a jury will find that confusing. And he also says the law isn't unfair because it's bad for the defendant. It's not unfair because it's not in the defendant's favor. And he says no crime is in the defendant's favor. Good point. He said these are charges based on the evidence provided to the grand jury, and they didn't have a problem with it. He said if they can find these conspiracies, he says a trial jury can as well. So Judge Boyce says, I will say I haven't seen charges that have multiple crimes unrelated like that in a single count. And thinking in terms of going forward, his concerns have been, how do we instruct the jury about this? He says the wording says conspiracy to commit murder and grand theft. So that tells me the jury's got to find both of them, not one or the other, and the other is the way it's written. So he asked, do you think within a jury instructions, you got to say, here's what a first-degree murder is and here's what grand theft is? So Boy says now we're getting into a very large and cumbersome jury verdict form or instruction on how do you find count one, count two. Rob Wood says, I've seen no case law or authority that says we have to provide the elements of the underlying crime to the jury. They've already charged the murder and the grand theft. Lori is charged, as we know, with grand theft separately that related to those Social Security payments. Chad has insurance fraud or something to that nature for cashing in on Tammy's life insurance policy when he knew he was responsible for her murder. So Judge Boyce says the next issue he has that Lori's attorney brought up is also for the statute that sets out the punishment for conspiracy. And he says, if there was a guilty verdict on count one or three, what do you believe is the statutory required maximum penalties for that offense where you've got one offense that has a 14-year maximum penalty and the other has life or up to death? Do you pick the higher one? Do you pick the lower one? Do you pick both? Do they run consecutively? He said, those are the questions I have with the two separate offenses and what would a punishment be if you got there? So Rob Wood said a common sense approach to that is that the lower sentence is essentially swallowed up by the life or death sentence that she potentially could get if she's found guilty of murder. And so he says if the jury finds them guilty, the ultimate penalty is death. And so the higher penalty controls that. He again says, if you break it down, it's not confusing. They agreed to murder someone and there's still money linked to that person. And the crime is the agreement and the overt act. He says, I think as long as we can establish that the jury can render a verdict of guilty or not guilty when it comes to introducing all the other elements. He said they researched this before they ever put this in front of a grand jury, and they researched it again after they had gotten these charges. So he says he hasn't found any source that says that's the case, that they need to do that. So Lori's attorney jumps on this and says, hey, look, he admits it. I'm not familiar with a grand jury. He said, I'm a little concerned. The state says they've researched this issue prior to presenting it to the grand jury. He says, my understanding is the grand jury hears the evidence, they deliberate, and then they come back with their charges. He said, my understanding is He said, what Mr. Wood is saying is that they decided what the charges were going to be. They present the documents to the grand jury and ask the grand jury to just sign off on it. I'm not sure that's appropriate. I'm not sure that's the way it should be. He says the grand jury deliberations are secret, and as we know, the defense cannot be present for the grand jury proceedings. He said ultimately he's worried this grand jury was led down a path they were not prepared to sign off on. And he said if the court is confused on counts 1 and 3, it's possible maybe one or two of the jurors were confused. He said the second thing is the state is relying on in this case is a 1919 case where they quote, the conspiracy is the crime. However, and that is one, the one we talked about, Rob Wood said it, however diverse its object. So Lori's attorney says the opinion is short and it was a political decision regarding the war that the country was about to go in and that there were issues there. He said, I think the language that Rob Wood put out there was taken, he said, not taken out of context, but we need to look at the circumstances surrounding the time, because this was written about a man from Missouri who was writing things in a newspaper that were bad for the war effort. And he said, I think the Supreme Court latched onto that. He said, I think we should take that citation that they are heavily relying on with a grain of salt, or I would at least ask the court to review that case. So it's all kind of convoluted a little bit. I feel confused even doing this episode, but I hope I broke it down a little bit. Essentially, they want these counts separated. There's conspiracy to commit murder, then a separate count for conspiracy to commit grand theft by deception. Judge Boyce ultimately is going to do some research, take it under advisement. He'll issue a written statement at a later time. There was also another motion that was heard, surprise, surprise, under seal yesterday. The good Lori, we got to have that hearing. She wants a lot of stuff unsealed. Also, just real quick, I will post the link as soon as it's up, but Kay and Larry were on Court TV last night, and just a few things from that interview. I highly suggest you watch it. It was a very emotional interview. As I said earlier, Larry said that that's not the same person in that courtroom as the one he knew. He said she knows she's guilty and what she did is wrong. She's trying to cover up her miserable life. He said when she knew all along, all she had to do was call them to get JJ. Kay said the trial will be very hard learning the little details. She said right now it's just too much when she hears things. And Larry said Lori will never answer those questions and maybe the forensics will answer some of those questions. And he hopes that one of them flips and starts talking. But he says what's done is done and they can't undo it. And for her to spill the beans, it may mean something to everyone else. He said, but Larry says to him, he doesn't care. What they did was unforgivable. And they got very emotional. It was very hard to watch, y'all. I got very upset watching this. They just want the kids' bodies back. They do not have possession of Tylee and JJ's remains. They're still being held by law enforcement. And Larry just started crying, saying that about JJ, he shouldn't be in a freezer for over 2 years. And Kay said he needs to be put to rest with his daddy. And, you know, Kay said they'll get through this because she said, we're not going to let them kill us too. And I think that is a strong, strong way to think about it. They have a hard road ahead with this trial coming up. And Kay also said she hopes their cases aren't severed. To go through that twice would be torture. So anyways, that's kind of all. I hope this didn't confuse you. I really wanted to try to break it down, though, because we do that with hearings. It was an interesting one. We will see what happens. I don't think this will be the last we see of her in court. And again, the DNA case may end up back in a hearing depending on how they do with the samples. I may put out a second episode Friday or maybe a bonus one on Saturday. I like to do 5 a week just to keep things consistent. So look for that. But otherwise, I'll be back tomorrow. We'll pick back up on that mega series just in case. Or if anything big doesn't happen today or tomorrow, we'll go back to the mega series tomorrow. Still looking to finish this by the end of the month. I was told by Chasing Paper, my buddy on Twitter, Eric, that now George Wagner's trial is set to begin the first week in September. So we knew there may be a little delay. Jury selection's hard. They didn't change the venue. This is a small town in Ohio. Everybody knows everybody. Don't know how they're going to get an impartial jury, but hey, I didn't make that decision. You guys have an awesome rest of your day. My kids are at school. I'm taking a nap. See you soon.